This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Three major fires burning in Southern California. Experts are warning there is something coming that could make wildfires worse. But first, dozens of homes been destroyed. Thousands of people remain under evacuation orders. Latest on the airport fire that began in Tribuco Canyons, burned into Riverside County, came from OC Fire Division Chief Kevin Fetterman. He says the fires burned more than 23,000 acres, but progress is being made towards eventual containment.
With the change in weather and our ongoing work, we expect to see progress in achieving those objectives in the coming days. Despite the fire's many challenges, which have included fuel moistures at critical levels and the fact that some of these areas haven't burned in decades, the terrain and topography have presented extreme challenges, but the timing of OCFA's new Firehawk helicopters could not have been better. As their nighttime drops, along with that, the helitanker drops from the quick reaction force and our other helicopters have made a tremendous impact.
And Karen Adams is in Lake Elsinore with more live on the airport fire.
Rob, the destruction the fire has done here along Ortega Highway is in your face. There are charred hillsides, power lines, and El Carrizo Village, just utter devastation. Burned out cars, homes still smoldering. There's a tattered American flag still waving in the wind outside a fence of a destroyed home. And I ran into Reed Nichols earlier, who lived there. Home gone.
Up there for 35 years or a little more. Never had a fire in the village.
So what do you do now?
Pick up the pieces and
try to move on.
I can't say go home. I mean, right. I could go home to move all the ashes and the...
Right. See if there's anything left.
But the firefight continues to save other homes from destruction. It's hazy, windy up here, but the water drops continue. Lake Elsinore is right down the canyon in front of me, and the choppers, I'm watching one now, they come in, they scoop up or suck up the water, then fly off to douse the flames. Rob?
The bridge fire is still burning out of control. It has destroyed dozens of homes in Mount Baldy and Wrightwood. It has burned close to 50,000 acres, about 76 square miles, giving an idea of how big we're talking about. Some people are not leaving despite evacuation orders. Pete Demetrio reports.
The bridge fire roared down the mountain and approached homes in Wrightwood on the upper end of Acorn Street. When it did, Mike Tavest, a wrestling coach at the local high school, came out from his home, hose in hand, to deal with hot spots and embers were raining down.
Yeah, we stayed around with our fire hoses and got a fire hydrant here and made sure the neighborhood was safe.
Fire didn't get that close, but it got close enough?
Two lots away. So yeah, it was pretty scary.
Yeah, what are the temperatures like when something's two blocks away and you got a wall of fire coming at you?
You could feel the heat, probably 170 degrees. It was bad. It was real bad. My eyes are still red.
What about your youngsters who are giving you a hand on that type of thing? This is sort of a life lesson they've learned?
Oh, my wrestlers were definitely really, really helpful in this, definitely, for sure.
They're occasionally giving you a look and saying, Coach, what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah, Coach, what are you doing? Are you crazy? I said, no, I'm just helping out the neighborhood, man.
Wrightwood, for the most part, remains a ghost town. The only people on the streets, camp crews, and engine companies patrolling the area and remaining alert for any change in the winds that could cause a surge along the fire perimeter. In Wrightwood, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Three California representatives asking for help from Governor Newsom. They sent him a letter. They want him to declare a state of emergency to help with the bridge fire. Judy Chu, Grace Napolitano, and Jay Oldernolte thanked the governor for declaring an emergency for the line fire. They want him to act as quickly on the bridge fire. Bizarre arrest this morning in an area under an evacuation warning due to the bridge fire. Deputies apparently found two people in possession of drugs, evidence of theft, and multiple wild opossums in their vehicle. Deputies came across what they called a suspicious vehicle around 2:30 a.m., illegally parked in the Mount Baldy and San Antonio Heights area. They say they found suspected fentanyl, drug paraphernalia, and the wild animals they had grabbed for some reason. The opossums were unharmed. They have since been released back into the wild. For a while, nobody knew if a famous ski resort would survive the bridge fire. Mountain High's webcam showed dramatic live video last night. But by sunrise, It was clear the resort mostly survived. Mountain High posted today the fire had raced through the area yesterday, but all the main lifts and buildings survived with little to no damage. The post went on to thank all the employees and firefighters for their hard work and that their hearts go out to families in Wrightwood that they say may be suffering. Law enforcement officials talking about the arrest of a man they say started the massive line fire in the San Bernardino Mountains. Investigators say they found evidence in his car and home linking him to the fire. He's currently in jail awaiting formal charges. San Bernardino County Sheriff Shannon Dykus says looter is struck in the area too.
In the Running Springs area, we have already taken two suspects into custody who are actively burglarizing residents and being those opportunists. And I'm drawing a line in the sand when it comes to things like this. If you're going to be an opportunist in San Bernardino County and we catch you, you are going to jail.
And one home's been destroyed by the fire in Running Springs. Greg Howell has refused to evacuate. He tells us that the house belonged to his handyman, Dave, and was in the center of the town.
So it was well past the edge of the wilderness, let's say. He was a couple rows up. I used to live right down on the edge, and I was, you know, it's a small, tight-knit community. The whole town of Running Springs, there's probably 1,000 full-time residents, so we all know everybody pretty good. And I used to live right down there, and I really thought it was one of my neighbors on the front line. They had been heavily FOS-checked. They'd worked a fire break all week. And I was kind of surprised it was an ember that went about three rows up past the wilderness.
And that fire's burned close to 35,000 acres, is only 14% contained. Nonstop News at 5 is presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. One climate expert tells KDX News the fire's only going to get worse as we head into the fall, and we'll go in depth on why. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. California senior Senator Alex Padilla is at the center of national politics in Washington, but he tells our new election show, Countdown 2024, he's well aware that progress on local issues is all important. He talked with Countdown host Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
We need an immense amount of affordable housing in California. We have a homelessness crisis that just does not seem to get better, no matter how much local governments throw at it. So what is your plan at a federal level to help California with reducing homelessness, with getting more affordable housing built?
Sure. So I'll encourage people to go to my website and look up my Housing for All Act, which calls for a number of strategies that have been proven by local governments to work, whether it's getting people off the streets and into transitional housing, whether it's investments in affordable housing through financing by the federal government or vouchers for people looking for affordable housing. We need to significantly increase the housing supply to help bring down the cost, because it's both a housing supply crisis and an affordability crisis. You have ideas that President Biden has put out that Vice President Harris supports to look at tax incentives for affordable housing development. And you look at a four-year track record of Donald Trump when he was in the White House doing nothing about the issue. So the contrast couldn't be clearer.
As I'm sure you're probably well aware, Senator, we've got three big wildfires, the biggest one in California burning here in Southern California. How's the federal government working with state leaders in Sacramento to not just boost firefighting capabilities, but also modernize forest management to reduce the substantial risks that we face here?
Look, we're working hand in glove, and it's only because we've had way too much experience with increasingly large wildfires over the last 10, 12 years in California. So, you know, to your point, everything from the recent arrival of C-130 aircraft, surplus military aircraft that's been retrofitted to help tackle these large wildfires. We're implementing technology from different federal departments and agencies to help with some of the imaging and modeling of where these fires are going to go and grow, so we can more strategically deploy assets, not just firefighters, but other assets. But long-term, got to tackle climate change. It's this extreme heat events that have caused so many fires with so much destruction. It's why we're investing so much in electrifying our transportation sector, moving towards a clean energy economy. California is home to the first multi-billion dollar hydrogen hub because of the promise of that technology and more.
Did you watch the debate?
Oh, I sure did. I sure did. And couldn't have been more prouder of Vice President Harris.
Why?
I think she did. I wouldn't say she performed well. She absolutely won the debate. Created the clear contrast of the choice we all have this November. She exposed Donald Trump, not just for the bully that he tries to be, but his unfitness for office, while she remained cool, calm, collected, articulate, eloquent, not just her values, a specific experience that she brings to the campaign, to the position of President of the United States, and how she's going to fight for working families, not for herself.
Countdown 2024 airs weekdays at 2:30 with a replay at 8. You can find it on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show. Earlier this week, more homes in Rancho Palos Verdes lost power, and those residents feel like they just can't catch a break. Natalie Vidian reports.
So this is what it sounds like when you open the door. It's really loud.
Yeah. The entire neighborhood here in the Portuguese Bend Community Association area, about 140 homes like Marianne Hunter's, have no utilities at all. They've been cut off from gas, power, and most recently, internet.
Well, that's a big complication because of not just entertainment, but because that was our internet. And my husband and I are each independent artists, so we are in communication with our clients. So we have set up Starlink. I've got internet because of that.
So once you figure out the battery storage, you're not going to need this generator anymore. Okay.
Going off the grid, adding solar, comes with its challenges, she says.
But they said that it would be, you know, like 3 or 4 days to set up. We're into our second week now, and that is because the system was designed to be set up while we were still hooked up to Edison and then kick in if Edison stopped supplying power.
On Monday, Southern California Edison de-energized 54 new customers in the Lower Portuguese Bend Beach Club area.
We've got three big wildfires burning in Southern California areas right now, and weather experts say that the wildfires could be about to get worse. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Fire season could get even worse this fall when Santa Ana winds start to blow. That is the warning from weather experts, including UCLA climate scientist Daniel Swain.
In Southern California, it's cooling down, but it's not getting any wetter, and it won't get any wetter for weeks, maybe months to come. So unfortunately, in terms of fuel aridity and vegetation dryness, we're stuck with the legacy of this recent record-breaking heat for the foreseeable future. Whenever it's dry and windy, we're going to see high fire risk until seasonal rains arrive, and there's no indication of that happening at all right now. So I am concerned about what this portends about Santa Ana offshore wind season. No major Santa Ana winds in the offing right now, but it is possible that some of the larger fires, especially the bridge fire and or the line fire, could still be burning for weeks, and that does get us into Santa Ana wind season, and that plus any new fires that would develop amid a year that has had an exceptional amount of grass and brush growth following two very wet years, record wet years even in Southern California, and now followed, capped off by a record-breaking heat wave. That is not a good combination for fire behavior in Southern California, and accordingly, the federal outlook for the fall from the predictive services in the wildland firefighting context is that Southern California will see continuously elevated fire conditions for a couple more months at least. In fact, there's a special advisory out for the exceptional grass loading and brush growth.
He says air quality is going to remain a very big concern, too.
The smoke pollution from these fires has been worst, as you would expect, across the Inland Empire and in some of the mountain communities, as well as a few other communities right up against the base of the foothills. With the onshore flow, I actually think the coastal areas may be okay for now, because the strong winds are a mixed blessing. It clears out the coastal areas, but it's going to cause these fires to run aggressively upslope, as we're seeing now in the mountains. So clear out the air and west side of LA, but at the expense of the mountain communities potentially burning. That's the unfortunate reality there. These fires are going to be burning for long enough that there will inevitably be reversals of the wind pattern or periods of weaker winds, and down the line, there could well be much worse air pollution days ahead, because these fires are not going to be extinguished anytime soon.
And he stresses how tough it's going to be for firefighters.
These kinds of fires are burning in very complex terrain. The mountains in Southern California, in many cases, are extremely steep and rugged. In fact, some of the steepest and most rugged mountains in North America, actually, in LA County. And these fires are also burning, in some cases, in places that have no fire history in 50-plus years. So the vegetation is extremely dense. There's a lot of fuel out there. It's often not possible to send crews in to go direct, so they will go in neighborhoods and populated areas. They will go in on the highways and, to a certain extent, Forest Service roads. But to be quite honest, access is limited in a lot of those places. And so there's a lot of air resources, aircraft, mainly planes, but also helicopters that are being used in this setting. And all of that is to say, I don't think that these fires are likely to be extinguished or contained anytime soon. And some of these evacuation warnings or orders may be long duration.
It's 5:21. We get a look at your money now. Here's Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons.
NVIDIA helped lift the markets from an early slump today. The NASDAQ led the charge, closing up 370 points or 2.1%. The S&P added 59 or 1%. The Dow gained 125, a third percent. Investors are betting the Fed will make a smaller interest rate cut next week. After today's read on inflation, higher prices for housing helped lead to a higher than forecast increase in core inflation last month. That's the big takeaway from the August Consumer Price Index, which shows a 0.3% rise in that core inflation, which factors out food and fuel. The headline number, which includes all prices, rose 0.2% last month and 2.5% year over year, both in line with expectations. OpenAI continues to impress with its fundraising. Sources say the startup is in talks to raise $6.5 billion. That would bring its valuation up to $150 billion. I'm Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, September 11th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.